It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. Have to teach the children about living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in their hands. Watching us close, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
Alrighty, how are you today? This is Spingola and Friends. It is Monday, November 24th, 2014. This is Deanna Spingola, and I am broadcasting from my office in the very cold Chicago suburbs. I'm having some logistical problems here. I'm going to have to ask our guest to call in to the program, as I am unable to add him to the group call. I don't know. Sometimes Skype just has these crazy issues. Alrighty, as I mentioned, this is Deanna, and I'm broadcasting from my office in the Chicago suburbs. This radio program does not have any corporate sponsors, therefore we are free to discuss controversial topics that are not politically correct and those you might not hear on other programs. My website is spingola.com. There you will find information about my three books, the Ruling Elite series, as well as a timeline of book 2 and 3. Please also visit the website of a friend and listener who has created and maintains the website, spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com. All of the more recent audio files, sorry, I was reading the Skype message. All of the more recent audio files of my programs are at that site, including the RBN files, the American Free Press files. My Twitter account is twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. If you have questions during the program, feel free to call 646-787-1915. We will be taking questions and comments from the listeners via my email, comment at spingola.com, or from the chat room, spingola.chatango.com. Please remember that I do not access my regular email address during the program. My guest today is Wayne from Canada, and in the second hour, we will be joined by Christopher Sandow. Wayne's website is justiceforgermans.com. Okay, now I am unable to call my guest because if I call somebody, then it will take me off of the Blog Talk Radio. So I am not able to call my guest, and I am trying to get him to call into the program. He did suggest that I call his other number, but I cannot do that because it will knock me off of Blog Talk. So I'm going to Skype him, message him again, because we need to talk to him. Let me just tell him what's going on. It's kind of difficult to multitask, but we'll do the best we can. This Skype is not being very friendly, and Blog Talk Radio also has its problems. So hopefully we can get him to call in. So it's really kind of a situation that that makes it very unfortunate to deal with Blog Talk Radio. they also have issues where it's kind of difficult to listen to the program. Some people have indicated to me that they have tried to listen on air and can't find the button or where they can call in or listen. You can call into the program at 646-787-1915, and then I can bring you on the program, or you can listen via your phone line. Okay, I am still waiting for Wayne to call into the program, and hopefully he will do that. Okay, here we go. Wayne, is that you?
That's me.
Oh, gosh. This blog talk has some difficulties. Sometimes I have been absolutely unable to add somebody to a group call. The option simply isn't there. And if I call somebody via a regular phone number like the one that you gave me, then it knocks me off blog talk. So it's just a bad situation here. I wish that Blog Talk would kind of, get a little more creative or a little bit more professional. But anyway, welcome. I'm so happy to talk with you. So many people have wondered how you're doing, whether you're okay. They love you. They love the work that you have done on your website and have absolutely missed you terribly.
First off, thank you so much for inviting me, and Tim, for your kind words, and thanks to everybody else out there for their concern and for continuing to support me and my work and my Justice for Germans website. I really appreciate it. It's been a long time, and been a long, hard year in many ways, and it's just been, I guess, the last month, since the beginning of November, I decided that I just had to finally get back on here and get moving with us again, because it was just, I've just got so many different things going on. I just thought, no, if I don't do it now, I don't know when I'm ever going to do it. I never intended to be away at all, and much less for a whole year. So it's just the way things have worked out. And I'm back, trying to do as best I can. I'm juggling a lot of different things at the same time here. So, but it is good to be back and good to be in touch with you and with my friends on Facebook and so on. I have missed it.
Indeed, and as I said, many, many, many people have missed your work, and because your work is, other people are doing revisionist history, and certainly we appreciate other people's work, but you have a certain knack and openness and just a real sense of honesty, and you're very credible, and you put a lot of emotion into your work, and you are very believable, and you've written some really remarkable things, and people really respect you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's really, it's nice to hear. It's for me sometimes it's hard to imagine that I've really had that kind of impact, and yet it's humbling, because I think I didn't get into this to become anybody's hero or to make a name for myself. Get any kind of fame and glory out of this. It's the things I cover are, for most people out there in the world, they're taboo topics that people don't don't want to know the truth about. And yet I thought, you know, somebody has to do this. And, you know, I come from at this, I guess, from a unique perspective in that I am German. I'm, you know, my maybe I don't speak with a German accent, but, you know, both my parents were German. And, well, my mom's still alive. And my dad's long gone, but they were still German when I was born here in Canada. And so I also have German citizenship. And, you know, and we've covered this on shows in the past, and I've still gotten the interviews we've done in the past on my website for people to hear, and I've talked about my family background, so I don't want to go too much into that, but, you know, for me, it is personal, inspired, you know, first and foremost by my parents and what they told me about their experiences growing up in Germany under Adolf Hitler, as well as, you know, through the war, which they fortunately survived, you know, all of the terror bombing as well as the mass starvation in the aftermath. So it is personal in that respect, and yet I also know, of course, other Germans, German Canadians, German Americans, who you know, experienced much the same thing as I have, which I've already spoken about in previous interviews about the kind of things that people would say once they, you know, when I was a kid, once they realized that I was German, you know, they could be pretty nasty. And I've, you know, discovered that other people have shared those experiences, whether in Canada, USA, Australia, and so on. So it is personal. I don't, I'm not a historian, and but I am a you know, I've done a lot of research on a lot of things over the years, and I am also an activist. I've been an activist on many issues over the years, and it just finally, for me, it finally came down to this is what I really need to focus on now. You know, I've covered so many other things. This is what really needs to be done and said, and what's most needful now, not only for the German people, for my people, but really for the world. Because, you know, and this comes back to November 11th was Remembrance Day or Veterans Day there in the States, and we're always told time and time again, you know, lest we, you know, remember, you know, all these, or lest we learn from the lessons of history that we're doomed to repeat it. And I go by that, absolutely. We need the full and true history if we're going to learn anything from it, and if we're going to actually prevent another great war from happening. So that's where I come at it.
Of course, there have been wars going on, I think probably since what they call the Great War, World War One. And but I think that since World War One, Germany and every single German has been vilified since World War One. So this didn't start with World War Two, but it sort of culminated with World War Two. And well, I guess it didn't culminate. It got worse with World War Two, and Germany has been vilified tremendously. They were blamed for the beginning of the war, both world wars. And I do see people starting to question things as a result of what the United States is doing in the Middle East right now, in that they are destroying countries in the Middle East in the very, very same way that they destroyed Germany in World War One and World War Two. Both wars, both of which Germany tried to avoid, did not want, and certainly did not start. And so it seems that the United States has not changed its tactics, and they still use the very same kinds of lies in order to get the American population to accept or to allow themselves to be talked into going to war against strangers who have never done anything to them. And so I think that maybe the reason that people are changing their minds about World War One and Two is because they see what's going on now, hopefully. What are your views on that?
Yeah, well, I absolutely concur with that because, we hear it time and time again, or we have, at least in the last, I think, 20 years since, I guess, the first Gulf War, and then from time, possibly with the war in Serbia as well, we always hear this, oh, he's another Hitler. We've got mm-hmm. to do something, right? And so it's the same M.O., oh, this guy mm-hmm. wants to take over the world. Oh, this guy's a threat to our to the world,
Mm-hmm.
I think many people are waking up to that and seeing the pattern emerge. And, maybe 9/11 was the thing that maybe woke them up to a lot of the lies that are being told and propagated. And, and they've seen it then again happen with countries like with Libya, with Gaddafi. We've seen it happen with Syria. And we've seen the 10-year-long, at least 10-year-long campaign against Iran. And people have had a chance to maybe check out what, Ahmadinejad had to say for himself as opposed to, things that he was purported to have said, in the media and so
mm-hmm.
on, comparisons. And so, that sort of thing, I think is causing people to rethink everything and opening their minds somewhat to this one big lie, which has gone on for 70 plus years, and even further we can go much further back, but certainly
sure.
over the last 70 years, and they're willing to at least look at it. But I think that it's also depends on how it is presented to people, and there are other people out there who have done different things over the years, tried to cover these subjects, and are quickly discredited and vilified. And so I do try to learn from the mistakes of others. And I don't know that other people, even consider that they've made mistakes, but, I for one would like to interview Ernst Zundel and ask him,
yes.
over all those years, what would you rather have done differently, or what do you think you could have done differently to avoid the outcome? And then I say that with all respect to him, what a great man. And there's been others as well. And so, what I have learned is that is to not put this out in a way that I'm, worshiping Adolf Hitler, worshiping National Socialism, swastikas everywhere, and, that sort of thing. Because I understand how the average person thinks, but particularly how the media represents that stuff, and how people have been so brainwashed over the last 70 years, and how they're going to react on a visceral level to that sort of thing. So I've taken a different approach with the design of my website, with the layout, with the images, with the symbolism, and so on. That I would hope would invite people to open their minds and to think a little bit before they judge.
Sure.
And to actually look at, the material.
Yes, I'm looking at your website now. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And you do not have a great big huge picture of Adolf Hitler. You have Justice for Germans, which is very benign, and actually, I have on my RBN program, I had a gentleman on the program that that was banned from RBN because his website had a big picture of Adolf Hitler, and well, he was banned from RBN, and so I think that depending on your audience, and you, every presenter of any information should know their audience sufficiently well enough to understand that you don't want to force information upon them that they're not ready to accept. That oftentimes you do have to kind of, well, introduce truth, but not just give it all to them 100% up front, because, well, they've been brainwashed. And usually the very, very first stories out in the media, in the entertainment industry, are the ones that people are going to remember. And if they have been indoctrinated for 50 years about a particular thing, to come in and just say, hey, that was all wrong, literally you're telling people, look, you're really stupid, you were duped. And people don't want to admit that they've been duped about something. But if you feed them information, who has said that, what is it, that there's three steps of truth. And first you resist it, then you...
Well, then they laugh at you, they mock at you.
Yeah. And then,
then they fight you. Then they fight you, then you win.
Yes, but ultimately they accept it as if it was, well, it's an obvious truth.
Right.
But people have to come to this level themselves. Otherwise, they're just going to be very resistant. And
absolutely, yeah. And, you know, there's... you know, people are, you know, they don't even, I think, you know, most people are, you know, have no idea as to how propagandized they are. And, you know, we hear about the so-called denazification program
right,
that took place after World War II. But in reality, I call it the Nazification movement or Nazification program, because that's where they really, you know, put that word into people's minds. Those images into people's minds, and so, you know, people have now heard it all their lives, you know, not just the Germans, but, you know, all of the people in the Allied countries as well, and so they have these things just ingrained in their minds, and it kind of prevents them from critical thinking. So my approach is this, is that and this has always been the case, even when I was doing 9/11 Truth. You know, I didn't go out there in a black T-shirt and a bullhorn and go screaming in people's faces, 9/11 was an inside job. You know, my thing has always been that you have to approach people civilly and respectfully, and try and be, you know, in a friendly manner, and to perform a service to them.
Sure.
As well, you know, doing a community service as opposed to, you know, being a pain in the butt to people.
Sure.
And
sure.
And trying to ram something down their throats that they're not prepared to deal with, you know.
And sure. Well, so, that kind of presentation, too, is also kind of a bullet point broadcasting. 9/11 was an inside job. It's a term that people can pick up and repeat without really realizing exactly what it is they're saying. And Schopenhauer is the one that said all truth goes through three stages. So, yeah, it's interesting how we come to accept truth. And the way that you've presented it is so rational that you alleviate, you allow a person to feel respected and kind of save their the image of themselves as being a critical thinker by allowing them to say, yeah, you know, gosh, I need to look into that. And if you invite people to read your articles, which you've done, then they can, they're so well put together. You allow a person to accept the truth and make it their own without making them feel foolish. And I think that's a real gift that you have.
Well, thank you. And I mean, you know, that's what I try, you know, for. You know, I don't always succeed with that. Sometimes my emotion does get the better of me, too. I was working on a new piece on the weekend after somebody had sent a video to me to look at, and it was a British propaganda film from, you know, right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was probably, you know, shown in the theaters, the cinemas, right in the immediate aftermath of the war. And it is, oh man, I mean, it just made my blood boil.
Sure.
To watch this stuff. And so I started writing an article about that, and I spent hours and hours and hours, and it takes that long, you know, a lot of times, to really, you know, say what I want to say, and, you know, and then rewrite, and it is time-consuming. But I don't know, I've still decided to leave that as a draft. I'm not sure if I'm going to actually post it or not. I'm going to have to rethink it. But
sure.
But it does happen. I mean, like I say, you know, it is personal for me as well, especially when you've got, you know, family and relatives who were there. And it can be painful to look at this stuff.
Of course.
But on the whole, yes. When I think about it, I mean, I hadn't even looked at my own website for a year, much less done anything with it. I hadn't been on Facebook for a year. I hadn't checked my emails in a year, and I come back, and I mean, I still had a lot of stuff to deal with from last year, when I was being just bombarded by a very sophisticated attack, a cyber attack on me. Spamming me from many different sites, and particularly Jewish sites, and it was obviously done through a computer program that they were doing it to automatically subscribe me to just hundreds and hundreds of websites, and which were then filling my inbox with newsletters and stuff that I did not subscribe to and would never subscribe to. So I had all that to deal with when I got back. I had, you know, still had 2,500, at least 2,500 of those kinds of emails in my box. I had to sort through all that stuff as well as get myself unsubscribed to all this crap. I mean, that just took many, many days to do that. But in amongst all of that, I also had about 500 legitimate emails that I wanted to look at. I could have, you know, I didn't want to just hit the delete button and get rid of everything. And so once I sorted out the mess and got down to all of this, I mean, I was just blown away by the type of emails I was receiving from people. Well over 90% were positive and supportive. And I looked at the stats for my website and found that, you know, nothing, it had never dropped off. My website is still getting 5,000 or 6,000, sometimes more, hits per day, oftentimes from brand new people, not just repeat visitors. More often than not, they're brand new people looking at it.
Wonderful.
So, and then you know, it was very time consuming to go through all these emails, but I decided before I get busy doing anything else, before I start posting anything new, I wanted to get through all of these emails and look at each one of them individually and answer most of them By the way, I should say to your audience as well, because some of those people will be on my friends list on Facebook. And by the way, there was there's always a lot of stuff going on Facebook, and there's some very strange people and agent provocateur types and all kinds of stuff going on Facebook. And I find out that while I was away, there was also somebody on there impersonating me, going by the name
of
Oh,
my goodness.
And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that person is still out there or what's going on. But so that just, you know, they just try to confuse people with that sort of thing.
Right. I guess people could do that very easily.
Yeah, they could. And we talked about this a long, long time ago too. The problems I had when I first got on Facebook, because they kept blocking my account, and then eventually they banned my account, my Justice for Germans account, and so I ended up having to create another account with a. Actually, I did have my real profile on there, and as a backup, because my Justice for Germans kept getting blocked. So, and I made the mistake of inviting a number of people onto my actual proper name Facebook profile, and these people then stole a lot of my pictures, information about my family, and started putting it out there.
My gosh.
So I started another profile by the name, and I've told you about this a long time ago, told your audience, it's Martin Mueller, and I've said it's an alias, of course, it's an alias.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only one that I use. I don't use any other name on Facebook, and it's a known fact to anybody who's been following what I do that that's the profile that I use on Facebook. So people need to use some discernment and go through my website and look at what I say and what I don't say, and they should be able to understand that, you know, there's people out there impersonating me, saying things that I've never said and would never say.
Oh.
Right. So,
wow,
anyway.
I've never really participated in Facebook. I initiated an account just as a family kind of a thing, but then I quit using it 3 or 4 years ago, and but I never dreamed that. I guess even though I think I know a lot about corruption in the world, I still. I am naive enough to say, oh my gosh, when you're telling me these things, because I think, wow, I never would have thought that somebody would. Well, of course they would do that. Duh, Spengola, use your head. This is what people do. But when you hear about it,
the whole truth movement. I mean, it's so infiltrated. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I do know that. Yes.
And I've been very clear right from the get-go. You can read it on my website. Go to my about page. I wrote that when I first created the site. I haven't changed it since, although I thought about changing it and tweaking it. But I've never changed that. I've got a Facebook page, a public page, as well as my Martin Mueller profile. I've never changed what I'm about, and I've always said I'm not a white nationalist. I've always said I am not a neo-Nazi. I have nothing to do with these type of people. I want nothing to do with these type of people. I'm not part of your movement or anybody else's movement. I do my own thing. So, you know, and then you'll get these people saying, well, you're trying to hijack our movement. You know, you're an infiltrator. Blah, blah, you know, no.
Can I read what you
what I'm doing?
Can I read the paragraph that you say this? Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay, you said, and I don't mean to interrupt. You say on this website where you can go to about, I am neither a neo-Nazi nor skinhead and am not right-wing in terms of my political views. I am not a white nationalist nor a promoter of Aryanism. I am not part of the Christian identity movement. I am not supremacist or extremist of any kind, and I do not support or endorse anyone who is. I have no affiliations. I'm not here to promote hatred, violence, or revenge against anyone or any group. Indeed, nothing on this site should be construed as such, nor am I radical except in as far as telling the truth, sharing largely unknown facts, and expressing unpopular views based upon such facts may be considered radical. Unquote. That is pretty clear. Pretty clear.
Yeah. So I don't know why these people, are trying. See the thing. What happens is because I'm not validating them, and whatever it is they're doing and they're involved with, and so they go on the attack against me, because they automatically assume, well, if you're saying something good about Hitler, if you're saying something good about National Socialism, then you should be with us. And if you're not, then you're a Jew. And I get that.
Oh
yeah.
My.
Yeah. So, but what I've,
Think
my whole,
people in
my
the,
whole feeling, pardon me.
I'm sorry. People in the movement are so black and white that you're either with us or it sounds like Bush. You're either with us or against us. And if you're not exactly saying what they want you to say, then obviously, well, you're an enemy. And wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
So they have to name call.
Right. But I, I have to say, too, that in my opinion, based upon what I have seen and experienced over the last number of years, is that, certainly the, and this came up on Facebook over the weekend, too, with a few things that have been coming out, but, I said that, this so-called neo-Nazi movement in Germany, but also in other places in the Ukraine and so on and so forth, I believe fully that they are, that the Zionists and are behind that, and possibly Mossad.
Sure.
Are behind that because they want people to believe in that. And most of these, from what I understand, a lot of these so-called neo-Nazi skinhead types, they also believe the worst stuff about Hitler, and they want it to be true. Who does that benefit? Right? What agenda is served by that? So, they're not interested in the truth about National Socialism. They want the lie to be true, and the worst things to be true, too. And they want that to so that it validates them and their hatred and so on.
Sure.
So now when I I also do not want to tar anybody with a broad brush. So and I've always said, I try to be careful when I use the term Jews or the Jews, because certainly not all who call themselves Jews are Jews, for one thing. We know that most of them are not true Jews. They're Ashkenazis and Khazars, and so, I usually refer to them as the so-called Jews or the self-described Jews, although obviously there are some who may have legitimate connection to biblical Israel, or at least that area, let's say it that way, the Middle East. And just because, even if they have some their background in Khazaria 1,000 years ago, it doesn't make every one of them an evil person.
No. Certainly Benjamin Friedman and other people who have been very honest in the past.
Right.
And there are people, Paul Eisen, that you mentioned.
Right. So I recently was informed, this happened in September, and I, like I said, I wasn't even online. for ages. So somebody else brought this to my attention, that Paul Eisen, and I had seen his blog in the past, and I really appreciated a lot of stuff that he had been posting. But somebody told me, showed me a link on his site, so I took a look at it, and sure enough, here was Jews for Justice for Germans. And,
isn't that great?
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome. So I did, you know, like I say, I have looked at his stuff before. I believe he's a very genuine, sincere man. And I was like honored to hear that. And so I did take some time to write to him and thank him for that, and to give him also some background on myself and where I'm coming from with all this. And he's, you know, he's very supportive, and he had, in fact, he told me he had reposted some of my stuff on his site before too. So, you know, that's just wonderful. And he's working with a couple other gentlemen too, and that just reminded me of the fact that back a year and a half ago, I had actually published a letter that was written in German by German Jews in 1933 in one of their own publications in Germany, where they were calling for an end to the atrocity propaganda against Germany. And I translated that into English. You can find that on my website. So, you know, having somebody like Paul Eisen and his friends support this, you know, reminded me of that. It also reminded me of Benjamin Friedman. It also invited me of, I believe his name is Heinz Weichert, who wrote a mini book, you know, about a 30-page book or so called Under Two Flags.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who call themselves Jews, who have been speaking out and who do know the truth and are interested in justice for Germans. So, you know, I don't want to alienate those people. I'm not calling them all evil people, you know, just on the basis of that. And just as I do not want, all Germans to be, labeled as evil on the basis of something that somebody thinks that we did, you know.
Sure.
And or any other group for that matter. I try. I may not be perfect, and I may not succeed at all times. But you know, I try not to, you know, paint people with a broad brush. And that goes with other groups too. I understand there are some people who are white nationalists who are very sincere, honest people, who are genuinely concerned with the future of the white race. I understand that. I appreciate that. Okay? So long as they're, you know, not hateful and promoting violence and also perpetuating mythologies, you know, we have to be real and honest about everything that we're trying to do. So, I do think there are some out there perpetuating mythologies, and so I, you know, like I said, if that's your thing, go for it, you know. But I'm not part of that, so please don't assume that I am, just based on the kind of material that I'm, you know, think I'm doing, you know.
And, right.
You know, that's all I, you know, really have to say about that. But at the same
now
time,
you mentioned
don't attack me. Because I'm not part of your movement, you know?
Sure. And I feel the same way. I mean, I'm not a part of any kind of a movement, white nationalist or Christian identity or any of those movements. You know, if that's what they want to do, that's fine, but that's not my thing. I tend to be a loner and have a few affiliations and don't consider myself a part. Even the truth movement. What is the truth movement? A lot of people in the so-called truth movement are part of the problem, part of the perpetuation of the lies. And so, yeah, you just have to kind of separate things out and recognize that you will be attacked. You will be, as you have been, targeted by some of the very, very same people who should be applauding your efforts and who should be supporting you if they were really truly for truth and for revealing history, accurate history. So it's weird. I mean, it's just very strange. Now, you mentioned your translation abilities, and I do have a very good friend who wrote a book. I'm sure you're aware of the book. He's looking for somebody that could translate it into German, and it would be fabulous to have that done. But anyway, so if anybody out there would like to translate a book into German, I have somebody that is really looking for somebody to do that.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, that would always be a major, major job for sure.
It would be.
And it's
absolutely
easier. It's easier for me to translate from German to English than vice versa.
Right.
German's a very, very complicated language.
It is. It is. I think the Germans must be very, very intelligent, incredibly intelligent, to. Their language is so, well, intricate, as you said. It's, I mean, you have to really sound these words out, those long words, and I think, how can you remember that very, very long name for this? I tried to teach myself German when I was 12 years old, and I had the old Berlitz book, and I was really making a big effort, and I thought, holy cow, this is really hard.
It is, and I had to learn as a second language myself, because when I grew up, by the time I had older siblings, and by the time I was born, my parents were mostly speaking English, or at best half and half.
Sure.
And they wanted us to fit in and. Be proficient in English and so on first and foremost. So it wasn't really a big consideration for them and at the time. Now it's already quarter to the hour. So now just after I did come back, I was it came to my attention that there was a young man here in British Columbia, Canada. Who was in the media getting lambasted as being some sort of a Nazi or a neo-Nazi, and he was a minor hockey coach. By that I mean, coaching youth, teenagers in minor hockey, and that he had been fired from his job on account of things that he had been posting on Facebook, which he'd actually only been posting for his own benefit, basically. He didn't even have any friends on his Facebook list. But somebody who I guess probably had it in for him found out some of the things that he'd been posting, and which were, and I've looked at it, and there's nothing, really to this, other than the fact that, he's trying to do the same kind of thing that I am. He's been looking into the real history and talking about it, basically posting links to this, that, the other thing in movies and films and books and articles. But, taking a somewhat different approach than I have, but nonetheless, I thought, from what I could gather, there's nothing mean, hateful, or anything about this young man. So I was able to get in contact with him because he lives actually not very far from me. It's a couple hours drive, but I thought I'm going to try and get a hold of him. And I was able to do so, thankfully, and had a talk with him. And also while I was gone, it turns out there was a few other people in my area who had been frequenting my website, had seen my videos, and were now doing their own kind of revisionist stuff in Vancouver, and which is there. I live, in that area of Canada, so I was able to get a hold of them And I hooked up with them as well as with this gentleman by the name of Chris Sandow, who's the hockey coach. And we got together and interviewed him on camera. And we put that together and posted it on my website so that people can make their own impression of him rather than what was being said about him in the media, which was absolutely disgusting. They refused to say anything good about him. It was a total smear campaign. And, you know, that's
amazing.
The kind of thing that really, yeah, that really concerned me. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, I knew myself I would be up against as well if, you know, if I went about this the wrong way. And I also had to take other measures to protect myself. But I have years of experience in activism to go on. This young man, he'd never been political in any way, shape, or form, never been an activist. He is part German, half German, I believe, and, you know, he's got English and German. And he's lived in Germany. He's played hockey over there. He speaks the language somewhat. But, you know, I had a good talk with him, a couple of good talks. In fact, I've been in touch with him often since then. Very delightful young man, not a hateful bone in his body. And just to see, you know, how he was portrayed in the media and how this was repeated not only locally, but across Canada, in the United States, and around the world, you know, just instant infamy. So
it kind of makes you wonder, who the heck is monitoring Facebook? Inasmuch as Chris did not have that many friends on Facebook, who the heck is monitoring Facebook that would then report it to the media and have this big campaign against him?
Right, right. Yeah, it's just incredible. But if people haven't heard, haven't been following my blog and haven't heard of this before, then, you know, I invite you to please check it out. It was just a couple weeks ago I posted that, and the video's there. It's about an hour long. And look at the gentleman and listen to what he has to say. And we're also, I spoke to him, and he was, I asked him if he would be willing to come on your program and talk as well, and he said yes. So you're going to be hearing from him later on in this program. He's standing by.
Right. And, yeah, he said, I Skyped him this morning. And, well, after I'd gotten a hold of you, I said, I told him he would have to call into the program because the feature that usually says add such and such person to a group call isn't appearing today. I'm not sure why, but anyway. So he will call into the program at the top of the hour, and I look forward to hearing from him, talking with him. Question in the chat room. Or comment and question. Germany has so many achievements to its credit, including philosophers, psychologists, engineers, physicists, anthropologists, etc. But most people who support Germany on the radio always seem to want to talk about the Third Reich. Why could this be, and what does Wayne think about this situation?
I'm not quite sure that I understand the question, but I mean, certainly, you know, what, you know, I definitely agree. I mean, there is more to be discussed when it comes to Germany and the German people. I mean, there have been so many great people from many different walks that have added so much to you know, to the world, to our knowledge and understanding of things. Absolutely, but unfortunately, the World War II and the history of the Third Reich and so on is what is thrust upon us constantly, and which you know, for the most part, you know, in a negative way. And seems to override everything else, every other accomplishment of the German people, other than perhaps, you know, being the world champions at you know, football, soccer. So,
sure.
I think it is
well,
important.
I was in the process of answering that question too. I have an opinion about it. And I said, because of what the Third Reich accomplished in such a short time by eliminating the bankers and ennobling and enabling every citizen to be successful and to entertain some happiness and to feel joy at being part of a whole. And there wasn't the competition, the dog-eat-dog kind of competition and the stamping, the stomping across other people's backs to get ahead. That was gone.
Right.
And that seemed to me to be one of the great achievements of the Third Reich.
Absolutely. No, I mean, there was, I mean, it's incredible when you do finally get into it, what they were able to achieve in that time. But most people will never get there, unfortunately. So, but all we can do is try.
Sure.
I mentioned to you when we spoke the other day and as I mentioned earlier when we began about these emails that I get from people and, you know, the kind of support I get versus the hate mail, and I do get some that's extremely hateful.
Could you talk a wee bit louder?
I'm sorry. I will try and talk a bit louder. So how's that?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. Well, I want to just maybe share a few of these just random examples of the type of emails that I do get. On
a
regular
I'd love
basis.
To hear them.
Okay. I just sort of was randomly grabbing some of the text from these emails and put it into a text file. I didn't really sort it out in any way, shape, or form. But I would like to read a couple of these. And it's not to toot my own horn, but it's just, it's very...
No, I understand.
It's gratifying, and it's humbling for me to read this kind of thing. Because I certainly didn't expect this was going to happen when I started. But anyways, here's one. Okay, it's from a fellow named Peter. Dear Wayne, I'm so happy to hear that you're doing well and that you are again active with the site. Your work is very important, and like I said before, I admire your courage and strength. May God always bless you and your family, and may you always have the strength and courage to carry on with your mission. You're truly bringing justice to Germans. The truth is like a lion. Once you let it out, you do not need to defend it. It will defend itself, said St. John McInnes. He says, P.S., my mother is German from the Sudeten land. And if you're ever in my area, he's in Canada as well. You know, please let me know if there's any way I can help you. And there's another one here. This is from Jeff. I think he's in the U.S., hi, thanks for your great work bringing the truth to the world. While they are committing the worst crimes against humanity in Gaza, slaughtering innocent women and children wholesale and destabilizing the entire Middle East region, the dumbed-down world population is still drawing parallel between the acts of a allegedly tyrannical regime in Nazi Germany, blaming Hitler for all of the world's current problems. Sadly, this monumental absurdity is the reality in which we live. It is time for the world to wake up to the fact that it is indeed the tyrannical Zionist regime that has been occupying Washington, D.C. since World War II, and that has caused all of the pain and suffering we experience today in this world, not Adolf Hitler. That's from Jeff.
Indeed.
Here's another one. A gentleman in England named Tom says, just a very short one, I'm an Englishman and like you, completely despise the Allies for their crimes against the Third Reich and its lies post-war. I've only just discovered this blog, and I'm already a big fan. Keep up the great work, Tom. Another one from, let's see, Matthias or Matthias. Hello, please accept my compliments on your site. It is a rare voice of sanity in the world dominated by the perverted Zionist media. I am planning a small demonstration in London and wondered if you would object to my using some of your images.
Bless his heart.
And I do have a lot of different images that I've put up with different messages. So
yeah.
Absolutely, people can take anything that I've created and reuse it.
I have some friends in Germany, and I love them dearly, and I love the, they've been very, very kind to me, very supportive, generous, and anyway, while you're looking for something else, I'd like to thank people for their support.
Absolutely. Okay, here's one more, another one, German, Canadian, and Canada. Hello, I've been researching and learning for almost 8 years now, not only about World War II, but also about history in general. I am born in Germany. I grew up in Germany and now live in Canada. German is my mother tongue, and therefore your information is as compelling as it is intriguing. I must add that my father's heritage is also British, and I am by birth deeply steeped in British understanding of history. In Germany, history is only taught by the victors, with all the question marks a sane mind can put to it, and no one ever dares to put any doubt to it. This is deeply entrenched into German post World War II generations. Even now, merely 69 years after World War II, Germans are being fed day after day, with truths that unreasonably reflect only a poor image or an one-sided history. It's a bit strange to the way you wrote this. Please help me to make a better understanding of what happened and what I did not already find out myself. All my research. I am born in Germany with deep pride of its heritage. I need someone reasonable to help me putting this equation together. I think I'll just leave it there. It goes on and on quite a bit there.
Sure.
But here's somebody, you know, who's got it from both sides. You know, he was born there, I guess, son of a serviceman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but he's seen it from both sides and understands also, you know, how the Germans have been so bombarded with propaganda over there. Here's one more from ethnic German born in Canada. My relatives of age and condition were all conscripted or volunteered for Waffen-SS service since they were ethnic Germans from Hungary. They were mostly caught by the CCP, in other words, the Soviets. My father and his brother did 8 years in the camp. My uncle, by marriage, was from Hanover, worked as a motor pool mechanic and dispatch rider. He was captured by the Americans in France. Bad news. You know the history. When the U.S. turned the POWs, or DEFs, as they call them, DEFs, over to the French, they burned all of the Red Cross food supplies meant for the Germans. And they made sure that the so-called Krauts saw what they did. I wouldn't doubt that 25% died, at least. When they finally did build outdoor latrines, some of the inmates were so weak that they couldn't get up after their business and fell back into the crap and died anyways. We know about that. I don't understand the self-hatred, he says, that Germans have. For example, I read about one girl in Germany who was deeply ashamed that her father served in the Waffen-SS tank unit. He says, come on. The popular author Günter Grass never mentioned that he was a Waffen-SS man until, I believe, the 1990s or 2000s. I can understand that because he had a career to consider. But, yeah, that's interesting because, you know, he is very well known and respected in Germany. And yet I did not know that either, that he'd also served in the Waffen-SS.
Sure.
You know, but when people find that thing, that sort of thing out, they immediately want to, you know, denigrate them.
So sure.
It's unfortunate. But anyways, that's just a few just random ones I pulled off. There's some other ones I could read, but
there,
I don't want
there to... must be dozens.
Oh, many, many, many. And I have, on for those who are on my Facebook friends list and or still on it, because I had to delete a whole bunch of people when I came back, just because on the basis of who they were associated with, and I know that there were some trolls in there wanting to do me some harm. So, but those who are still there, they know, as I was going through all of these emails myself, you know, I was picking out, you know, some of them randomly and posting them on my Facebook wall and sharing them publicly. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't put the people's full name out there or their contact, you know, email address or anything like that. But people know, you know, this is legit. I'm not making this stuff up. I get these emails like this all the time, and it's just wonderful. And but sometimes there's some of the stories I get, they just bring tears to my eyes, knowing that what I've done has had that kind of impact.
Sure.
And, you know, and particularly when they're brand new to this topic, and their eyes are just opening to this whole different history that they've never heard of before. So when that happens, I know that I am having an effect. I am accomplishing the goals that I've set for myself. And,
indeed.
Yeah.
And you didn't do this out of any. You just want to tell the truth, and you have an obligation to do that. Everybody that knows the truth has an obligation to share it with other people, and people like yourself don't do this to make money, because oftentimes it costs you much more in terms of, well, the stuff that you've had to go through in order to get the truth out. So there is a huge price to pay.
There is no money in telling the truth.
No, there isn't. Even if you write books about it, it's not.
Exactly. You know, and there's consequences too. If you do have a position, and you're working at you know, a good job, and you're dealing with the public and so on and so forth, and you know, all it takes is for one idiot to say something. You know, that may or may not be true, you know, such as in the case with Chris, and you're going to wear it, you know. And for myself, I knew that was a distinct possibility when I started out. And, you know, at the time, I could have had a job, a government job, another government job, and I've worked in government before. And I don't mind saying so to all those agents out there who are trying to smear me. I've got a background in criminology. I've worked in the criminal justice system, and I could have had another job 3 years ago, making probably 80 grand a year to start. But I was pretty much a shoe-in for that job. But I thought to myself, I'm going to have to stop doing this. I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do, which is focus on this and start putting it out in the public. Because I know that sooner or later it's going to result in a scandal. That's all it's going to take is just one ignorant person or a person with malintent, and it's going to be in the media. I'm going to be smeared and fired and all the stuff that, you know, things that happen to
that Chris has suffered.
This,
and
right?
Chris just called in. He hung up. Okay, we've got to get him to call in again. All righty. So, Chris, if you'd like to call in, then we will. I was just about to press the button.
Skype
him again.
I'm on Skype here. I just told him to
call
in.
Oh, okay, here he is. All righty, let's bring Chris on. Chris, are you with us?
Hey, Deanna. Yes, I am.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's very nice of you to take the time to join us and to share your story. That Wayne has certainly done a good job in introducing that. And I'm sorry that you have experienced the loss of the loss of a job, perhaps mm-hmm. friends, perhaps family.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much for having me on. It has been a bit of a shortcoming, and you know, it's very unfortunate that I lost my job over this. But you know, I just felt that the you know, getting the truth out was more important, and you know, hopefully something better in the future will come up.
So you've been vilified in the media. I mean, that's something that that is very destructive. And I think back to about the media vilification for Insundel, which mm-hmm. led to the arson of his home and so many other things. My gosh, when he was going to court, he had to wear a hard hat and a bulletproof vest. I mean, it just got really ugly.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I'm not quite that big like Aaron Sundel, but you know, for the most part, you know, I've had no problem, you know, dealing in public and that kind of stuff. And you know, most of my friends are still my friends, and you know, I'm still playing hockey, and so I mean, all that stuff is good. It's, you know, just, it's again, really unfortunate that you know, I had to lose my job over this stuff. But
Now what did they say when what did your boss say when he approached you and fired you? Did he give you an opportunity to talk about it? Did he say who had informed him? I'd like to know how he became informed about this.
Well, she actually she had warned me a few weeks prior, you know, to then eventually calling me in to the office and giving me the pink slip. But yeah, I mean, she, I guess, had been tipped off by one of the parents of the kids I was coaching. You know, I have no idea who it was. I mean, it could have been a number of people, but I don't know. I just felt at the time that, I mean, I wasn't voicing my opinions at all when I was around the kids or any of the parents. You know, I basically just stuck to my job, just focused on hockey. And, you know, on my Facebook, I didn't even have any friends on my Facebook page. I just figured, because I was actually kind of done with Facebook, but I decided to use it as more or less a, I guess, kind of a website.
Sure.
To you know, voice my opinions there. And, you know, when I was told I had to make it private, I was like, well, what's the point of that? Now I have, like, zero voice, right?
So yeah, make it private.
You know, because
I can't
talk about it anywhere in public, or, you know what I mean? Although, you know what, there was actually one parent couple that actually did approach me on it, and we had a really good conversation over dinner about it, and, you know, they were extremely open-minded on the subject, and, you know, they really didn't mind discussing it. But, you know, and I was hoping that maybe more people would approach me that way and want to discuss it. But that never happened, and instead, you know, they used that as a tool to basically get rid of me. So, yeah, here I am.
Wow. Now, what are the prospects of another job?
Well, I mean, in coaching right now, it's pretty difficult because most associations already have all their positions filled, and so I can't really look for another coaching position at this time. And you know, whether or not I will in the future, I don't really know at this point, and I don't know how, you know, future you know, bosses will you know, approach me with this. So you know, at this time it's really hard to say, because I mean, it's still kind of fairly new. I mean, it just happened basically 3 weeks ago.
Wow. So, now you're 33. You have a family?
No, I'm a single guy.
Okay. But even single people need to have an income. I mean, it's
yeah. Well, I do have a place that I rent out to people, kind of like a vacation home type deal.
Uh-huh.
And you know, so I mean, I've been able to get a little income there, but you know, it is hard though without the coaching income as well, because it supplements it nicely, but. So, yeah, that's about it I got going right now.
Now you were never charged with any crime or anything. I mean, it's just but you've been the media. The media.
Canada's pretty strict with freedom of speech.
Apparently. And this has been this has gone internationally?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few articles pop up from the States and then Sweden and a couple other countries. So that's and unfortunately most of them are very negative, and you know, they're pretty much devoted to labeling me like a neo-Nazi or whatever. So
wow.
You know, that's not
jump in Wayne.
Yeah, and you know, and if you look at these articles, you'll find that all they're doing is repeating the same thing that the original article said.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's actually talking to him, interviewing him, and then actually reporting what Chris himself has said for himself, you know, on any of this. And so we had to do this ourselves and create this this YouTube video that I spoke of earlier,
right?
And let him speak in his own words first, and then to interview him on specific topics, and get his impression, and let people make up their own minds about it. You know, so we had to do the media ourselves here to do, because the actual so-called media, corporate media, was not giving him a fair shake here whatsoever.
Right. Now, even the Huffington Post covered this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this
yeah.
is not any small kind of thing. And this, I just
yeah. Well, you know,
the
timing of it too. I mean, you know, getting fired literally like a week before Remembrance Day. You know, of course, mainstream media wants to jump on it, right? And go, you know, because. You know, I guess technically you could say I was kind of in a, I don't know, maybe sort of somewhat of an influential position, and, you know, being a coach and out in the public like that. So they probably figure, this is a brilliant chance that we can, you know, basically silence this guy, and, you know, nobody in the future will ever want to, you know, take such a step again, right? So
sure, make an example of you, and... And it'll make others think twice before they open their mouths about the truth, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's they're very devious and methodical.
Indeed.
And Chris, a couple of them did, you know, give you extensive interviews. Is that correct? And then didn't report it.
Oh yeah, that was it. I had one radio station or whatever. A friend was listening to that radio station and, you know, told me they were saying all these bad things. And so I decided to call in to that radio station, and I did an interview there. And, you know, the fellow that interviewed me, he wouldn't air the interview.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I was like, what's the point of that, right? And instead of airing the interview, he just... I seen he wrote on his blog a couple hours after the interview saying, I just spoke with Christopher Sandow. You know, what he said in the interview was just of total hatred. And, you know, it was just so bad. I couldn't air the interview, you know. And
my gosh.
Yeah. So, and I mean, all I was doing was, you know, just bringing up evidence from Holocaust revisionist trials like Ernst Zundel and David Irving and Dr. Frederick Tobin. And but apparently by, you know, talking about that evidence that was brought up in those trials, I guess I'm inciting hatred and all this stuff. So it was too evil to air the interview.
Right. Well, there's a comment in the chat room, and it's obviously very facetious comment. He's just being funny. You just sound like a nice young man who simply has been totally vilified and victimized because people cannot handle the truth.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I guess a lot of people can be very easily offended. And, you know, when people are offended, they'll instantly attack you. So, you know, I mean...
Oh, attack the messenger. And then that will keep people from looking at the message. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know, you can also read through some of these articles, and some of them have comment sections, and you'll just see the bandwagon effect, and they just people will just automatically agree with what was written, and they'll this jerk, this, you know, oh, those evil Nazis and these kind of people should be blah 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 blah, you know. No critical thinking whatsoever, you know, no saying, well, where's this guy's side of the story? How come we're only getting what you're reporting here and what you're claiming and not hearing from him at all? They don't ask those questions. They just go along to get along, which is exactly the thing that they presume that the Germans did in World War II.
Right. It's that herd mentality. In other words, you don't want to go against the grain there.
Yeah, no, it's just like, you know, when Obama was talking very ill of Gaddafi in Libya. I mean, you know, most people just go, oh, yeah, you know, Gaddafi, he's evil. You know, we got to attack, right? I mean, that's just it's just the mentality. The majority think and process what the mainstream gives them, and that's pretty much it.
Sure. Well, yes. Well, this one article, I mean, just the title of the article is just, it says, North Delta hockey coach fired for Nazi obsession on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You have an obsession, which obviously is evil in itself.
Well,
okay. Right?
Well, you know what? You know, I mean, I got an obsession with the truth. I mean, I've been, trying to figure out what's going on for, you know, several years now. I mean, well, basically since probably almost a year after 9/11, you know, a buddy kind of put me on to Alex Jones and David Icke and Henry Mackow and those types of people. And that was kind of, you know, where I started. And, you know, over the years, it just kind of progressed and, you know, And I always had questions, you know, regarding the history of World War One and World War Two. I just didn't really know where to turn. And then all of a sudden, information started popping up like wildfire. And I was like, holy jumping, you know, like this is serious stuff.
Sure. Now you, this article, it says, and this is what one concerned parent said, you can't be a Nazi and coach kids hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? They look on my Facebook page, and by the way, my Facebook page is back. But anyway, they
maybe
look,
you'll even get a friend, huh? Maybe somebody.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna start getting active again, and I'll start adding people again. But but yeah, you know, they see right away. Like I think on my cover photo, I've got a picture of Hitler giving a speech in front of a million Germans, right? And they see that and they go, oh God, he must be evil because he posted that photo, you know what I mean? Or or the photo of a swastika, right? And underneath it's got the greatest story never told, you know what I mean? Like
yes,
instead of just looking at the swastika and actually just said, oh wait a minute, there's a link, I should take a look, you know, like, and then you know, they might actually come to a different conclusion, but, you know, it just seems like the average person is lazy when it comes to
thinking.
You know, wanting to know the truth of thinking, well, you know, yeah, basically. And
now, this is the greatest story never told. You were talking about Dennis Wise's video?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
fabulous,
it's an excellent
video.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I sat through the whole 6.5 hours, and, you know, to me, I mean, everyone should, because it'll give everybody a completely different story, you know, a story from the other side of it.
Sure.
And unfortunately, that's something we never get. Like, you know, we never, you know, like the Iraq War or Libya or Vietnam, like we never hear the other side. And unfortunately,
exactly.
We just kind of were too lazy to even ask, you know, or want to know about the other side of the story. And we just kind of run with what we're given from, you know, basically, well, our side, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'll jump in there at this point, too. And this is why, you know, we brought this up at this meeting that we held where we interviewed Chris, which happened to be on Remembrance Day, November 11th. And, you know, I have always said, you know, that, you know, why is it that they want us to be silent on that day? You know, I've always said, you know, we don't honor the dead. We don't honor the fallen with silence. We honor them by asking questions and speaking the truth.
Exactly.
You know? And yet that's what they want us to do. They want us to be silent and to go along and get along.
Right.
And this is the thing that, you know, we Germans are accused of all the time. And quite the opposite is true. So it is the people here who are unthinking, not thinking for themselves, going along to get along. Oh, it's Remembrance Day. It's just like Christmas. It's like Easter, Halloween, or anything else on the calendar. It's on the calendar, so we have to do it. Don't question it. Just do it. Go along.
Right.
Of course it's right. Of course it's good.
Lest you know. We forget.
Lest we forget, yeah.
Yeah, they want us to remember all the stuff, all the propaganda that they've told us over the decades, but heaven forbid that we ask any questions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they want us to think that, you know, the Allies were angels or something, you know what I mean? But yet you look at the Eisenhower death camps and this sort of stuff, and you go, like, really? We're supposed to believe
right.
These guys are angels?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
I was told by a family member, you can't be a hater. They accused me of being a hater. I was told you can't be a hater and love your family. It just, yeah, that's a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so this is the thing, is that immediately, and this is what happened with Chris, you post anything at all about this material that questions any of the official narrative, and you're automatically presumed to be a hater.
Exactly.
I was saying earlier, though, my experience, you know, in, you know, the brief conversation I'd had with Chris and then meeting him and in person, I immediately, you know, realized this, you know, and I certainly wasn't expecting that he was any kind of a hater, but he, you know, immediately, you know, I recognize, you know, this is a total smear campaign. You know, this young guy is a really nice guy, and doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He doesn't hate anybody, and you know, so it was just heartbreaking to see what was happening to him and what was being said.
Wow.
But this is how they, this is what they do. That's how they do it.
All right. Somebody just posted, I'm sorry to interrupt, somebody just posted a message in the chat room, a letter, a hate mail that Dennis Wise received. So I'm sure that Dennis Wise has a lot of hate mail coming his way also. Because,
I've seen some of that stuff.
When I watched
terrible.
His movie, I cried. I mean, I just, incredible movie.
Mm-hmm.
I consider Dennis a good friend.
Yeah, the people that are, you know, writing such hateful mails to him. I mean, they got to be the most brainwashed people going.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, from Dennis's work, you know, I don't see really where he's inciting any so-called hate or
not
whatever.
At all.
Yet, you know, people are chiming in at him and saying some of the most hateful things, you know. And I know Wayne gets some of that hate mail, and I mean, I've been getting some hateful tweets, but you know, I mean, it's people that they'll tweet at you, you know, something just you know, they'll name call and that kind of stuff, but they won't debate. You know, they're very
that's right. They don't want to look at anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, and yet there's, you know, many different ways that, you know, we can get people started on looking at this all differently, if they want to, if they, you know, but unfortunately there are those out there with, you know, totally closed minds and who they just think it's just insulting to question it, as much as, you know, a child is insulted and indignant and gets mad and upset when you tell them that there's no Santa Claus, no Easter Bunny, no Tooth Fairy.
What?
Wait
a minute. You're trying to tell me there's no Santa Claus?
Oh, Wayne,
come on.
You shouldn't have told him.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I thought you told him, Deanna. Oh, man.
You guys have broken my heart. I don't know if I can continue. No Santa Claus?
Oh, no. And but it's so true. What people are doing, how they follow each other in the forums, and the owners of these forums actually are running an operation where they literally just prohibit any kind of alternative opinions, like the comments in the in any forum. And there's a lot of forums on the alternative, in the alternative, so-called alternative media, where if you say, give a different opinion, oh my gosh, if the forum owner goes after you, that gives everybody in the forum permission to attack you.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy how, you know, if people see that you've got like an interest in the ideology from National Socialism, you know, instantly they think, oh, this guy's a hater, like he wants to exterminate all the Jews, he wants to exterminate every other race, you know, like that's just this brutal image that has been placed on the National Socialists. And to me, it's just utter nonsense. I mean, when you look at the fact that the Germans fought alongside people of all races and nationalities and so forth, like it's just, to me, it's just people being lazy, you know, and they don't want to look up
sure.
the truth.
What
and they
the
won't ask intelligent questions either. Like, I get some of this stuff on my blog. I mean, in addition to the emails that I get, I do allow comments on my blog posts. But I get some of them, you know, who will accuse me, you know, they'll come at me in the most hateful, disgusting way, and then expect me to post that, you know, allow their comment. They don't know the other hate, the other side of that coin of the hate mail that I get from people who are in the white nationalist, neo-Nazi type movements and who hate me because I'm not validating them. You know, they just make assumptions. And, you know, now if people want to disagree with something, I don't have a problem with that.
Sure.
As long as they come at me in a thoughtful manner and ask legitimate questions. And a lot of times, you know, like with my website, all you have to do is put keywords into the search box and you'll find the answer. You know, a lot of times, however, it's not there, and I even have to do some research on it and be able to come back and give a good answer for it. But
sure.
It's just a matter of, you know, how you approach things, and do you really want to know the truth, or are you just going to be an insulted little child and accuse me of hate while you and yourself are being hateful?
Right. They attack the messenger. They don't stick to the issue, but they just start character assassination. Chris, in the articles, I note that do you usually use your middle name in all of your they've used your middle name. It's Christopher Maximilian.
Yeah, it's because
Maximilian
Sandow.
Now, is that the way you sign things, or?
No, I just sign things with Christopher Sandow, but yeah, that's just because of my Facebook page.
Okay, but I think they're trying to say, look how German he is. His middle name seems to be German. So I think they're trying to use everything they can to kind of color in their image of you.
Yeah, there certainly is a goal to demonize Germans, and well, I mean, in particular, the National Socialists. I mean, I think the global elite, they would prefer that you know, such a revolution like that never happens again, because the people that were the most threatened by the National Socialists were those of the elite. You know, most the average person was in no threat by this political platform. You know, it was, you know, it's mainly the elite. I think they fear, you know, such a political platform becoming popular again.
Indeed. Well, yes, absolutely. They want you to look at the awful Nazis and just get this overall picture of them, so that you're not going to look, well, what did those terrible Nazis really believe? Well, gosh, if you look at what they actually believed and what the leaders were promoting, you think, gosh, that sounds pretty good. I think that we should endorse their views on immigration right now. I think we should endorse their policy on promoting the farmer and getting rid of the middleman and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they basically promoted stability in family as well. You know, I mean, that's a big thing. And nowadays, you know, I think divorce rates are higher than they ever been, and you know, it just, I don't know, it just feels like, you know, family as a whole is been under attack for quite some time. But, you know, that was like another really positive thing that the National Socialists made popular, really, was stability in family.
Right. Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, and then, you know, not to mention, you know, they brought in, they were the first, I believe, to bring in the 40-hour work week and install or ensure that all employers had to, you know, put cafeterias and bathrooms in all their work places. You know, I mean,
paid vacations on cruise ships.
Paid vacations.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, it's no wonder, you know, the German people at this time, you know, they quite, you know, admired the National Socialists. So, you know, life had virtually turned around for them, you know, once they came into power and the Weimar Republic was ousted. It was like a whole huge changeover. It was like from starvation to all of a sudden, hey, life is good, you know. And
sure.
But,
yeah. I mean, it wasn't instant and overnight, but it happened,
yeah.
You know, in relative terms, it was a fairly, you know, a rapid.
Quick.
Yeah.
It was a quick turnaround.
That's, that's the thing, right? Like the global elite, they have done such a masterful job in demonizing this ideology that, you know, it's virtually impossible to ever start something up like that again. And you know, and then you've got, I guess, like what Wayne was talking about earlier with the neo-Nazis. You know, I, to a large degree, they don't have, they themselves don't have all the facts intact. And so in a lot of ways, they actually also do damage to the National Socialist ideology, right? So
they're behaving exactly the way the enemy wants them to think and behave.
You know, like I said before, like the global elite has done a masterful job in basically shunning basically such a revolution from ever happening again. And you know, I think you guys mentioned this earlier as well. I mean, the biggest thing, too, was the fact that they banned usury. I mean, that...
Oh, indeed. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, to me, that the fact that they got rid of the stranglehold from the central bankers, I mean, that should speak volumes to everybody that...
And we know that that didn't happen, that they didn't just start doing that in 1939. I mean, this all started in 1933, the moment Hitler came to power. Actually, to some degree, even before he came to power, they were already spreading a lot of propaganda about him. But in 1933, just after he came to power, that's when they declared war in Germany. That's when the whole operation started, and is still continuing to this day. You know?
Absolutely.
So
yeah, they were. They'd already coined the term Nazi before they even come to power as well.
Sure, it wasn't anything that they called themselves. The Germans didn't call themselves Nazis. And I covered a lot of this in my book.
By the way, let me just throw in just one quick example of a hate mail I received the other day.
Please,
very short one. And, of course, it's from some anonymous coward, but he says, "Hitler sucks. You are nothing but a bunch of freaking Nazis. We should have plowed salt in the fields of Germany for all the innocent people."
Yikes, what happened to you?
Uh-oh.
Wayne, are you there?
Sounds like the global elite has got him.
Holy moly. Okay, let me look and see who... somebody just cut off his phone. Okay. Oh, my. Well.
I hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay. He's pretty resilient. He can call back in. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe his battery went dead or something. But anyway, Wayne, I hope you call back in. And we were getting the gist of it. And certainly, I've been called a few things too. I covered a lot of this history in book 2 and 3about Germany. And during the writing of that, those two books, I learned a great deal. And my German ancestry goes back quite a ways. The first Germans, my ancestry, came over after or during, actually during the Revolutionary War. And then they settled. I'm not full German or half German, but I do have some German ancestry. But I have a sense of justice, and it makes me really, really upset that at one point I believed all of the lies that I'd been told, and it just very upsetting.
I was, in high school, first learning, about the histories of World War One and Two. You know, especially World War II, I guess the history we're told in school is basically, that the National Socialists were sheer evil and Hitler was a madman who wanted to exterminate every other race and all the Jews and take over the world. And I always thought there was another side of the story, but, I really didn't have any clue where to look, and I basically had to just go along with it, otherwise I would, you know, fail the class. So I got very focused on trying to live the professional hockey dream that, you know, I never really sat down and researched it, and it wasn't really until like within the last couple years I started getting privy to the other side of the story, and holy jumping, it really opens your eyes, and what's happening today.
Indeed.
You know, like it's funny that they say, oh yeah, the Germans, they wanted to rule the world and all this kind of stuff, but yet if you just step back and take a look at what's going on today, I mean, you know, who's really doing that?
Sure.
You know, you look at who's constantly going to war and who's constantly occupying country after country. Well, it's actually Zionist control of the United States.
Exactly. I noticed one of the articles. I don't have it up in front of me right this second, but one of the articles, it was CTV News. Let me just bring it up again. One person who they interviewed or who had some say in it said, "Oh, I've been to Europe and I saw the camps and they killed 6 million and you know, on and on." And I mean, they always have to bring that up, when in fact the 6 million number is so, it's been proven over and over and over again, there were never 6 million under German jurisdiction at any one time.
Yeah. And well, I think the Red Cross.
Yeah.
I think they recorded something like maybe 300,000 roughly.
Yeah, something like
memory
that.
Serves
yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of those victims, unfortunately, in wartime, the typhus epidemic, it occurred a lot, and, due to the lice infestations in many of these camps, it was only a matter of time for the typhus epidemic to basically spring loose, and, at least to my knowledge, the German staff in these camps, they were doing whatever they could to prevent the typhus from spreading. But to say that 6 million were gassed. I I've actually visited Majdanek and Dachau, and I, having been in those supposed shower rooms where there's supposed to be gassings taking place, there's no trace of the Zyklon B anywhere
blue
in these
color
rooms.
Yeah,
there's no blue coloration on the walls anywhere, but yet, you go to the little tiny fumigation room they've got for delousing the people's clothes and bed sheets and blankets and so forth. I mean, they're just tiny rooms, and they're just wall to wall, just filled with blue guck everywhere. I mean,
sure.
The evidence is there, and the numbers of 6 million. I mean, it just doesn't add up. I mean,
no.
Especially when you think about how much time they had to cremate that many bodies. It's virtually impossible. I don't know if you, I'm sure you're aware of the Fred Leuchter report.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and I I have communicated with Fred and asked him to be in my program, but he doesn't do radio. And I have referenced him in my book.
Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, I mean, if you just go to like a modern day crematory, and you ask an expert there, like, you know, how long does it take to cremate an average sized body, right? They'll tell you, like, it takes 2 hours just to do
exactly.
one body.
Exactly.
Right? And so, and an even heavier body, like, you know, it can take 3 or even 4 hours.
Sure.
And that's just one body, but yet they're supposed to have magically cremated 6 million bodies, and they only had so many crematories in each of these camps.
Sure.
But,
and they were there for
yeah, they were there because to prevent the typhus from spreading, because they found
sure.
when they buried the bodies in the soil, the typhus would leach into the local drinking water, and, you know, even civilians were getting sick. So they're like,
sure.
holy jumping, we got to dig these bodies up and we got to cremate them. I mean, it's
sure.
It's logical.
And it's very logical thinking on the German part. And as far as the gas chambers, and you mentioned this, I mean, the doors, you know, they opened inward.
Yeah,
there
they're
were
not
windows,
even properly
there were,
sealed.
There no seal. I mean, my gosh, just use your head, people. I just get so upset with this. There's a comment.
There's a sign, actually, in the Dachau chamber. That says, it even says, never used as a gas chamber.
Amazing.
If you go there today. It's
amazing.
Hilarious.
Now,
yeah.
I did get a note from Wayne. He said he unfortunately had to use his telephone to call into the program because Skype was having an issue. Usually it says add this person to a group call, but didn't give me that message. And so he used his phone, and his long-distance minutes ran out. That's why he left suddenly. So he is okay. So we just want to make sure that everyone knows he's okay. In the chat room, there's a message, and this is from Edward, and he said he has been to Germany. He spent a week there just recently, and he said, I noted the impetus in Germany's youth in the history movement is curiosity in young people, a very difficult thing to control. The neos are very naive and more of a punk thing, I think. And he said that he hung out with educated business people, an associate of the Honorable Frau Stolz, who just had this trial of theirs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's terrible what they did to her, but anyway,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He said it's a small movement, but growing. And so people... Even in Germany, he said, before that, he said, the spell is wearing thin. People are beginning to apparently know the truth.
Yeah, I mean, that's very very promising, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully, you know, more people will research what happened and realize, you know, like, you know, we're being told to go to war wherever, it's only to benefit the elite and certainly not the average person. So, and actually some people in militaries are actually starting to catch on to this as well, and they're realizing that they've been duped. And, you know, if we can reach more people, especially in the militaries, I mean, that would be huge.
Oh, indeed. I think that a lot of people feel like they have been duped, and I think that they feel guilty about what they have done. It's a very sad thing to feel, and of course, it's always young people, and they recruit people right out of high school. Who've been educated in the government schools? They've been politicized. They've been
They've been educated by video games too.
Sure. Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's a big what I call vidiot nation.
Yeah.
They're getting subconsciously programmed by all these crazy video games they're playing and so forth. And, you know, and of course all the TV shows they watch and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it just kind of, they don't even realize it, but all this stuff is basically feeding the war machine.
Sure, and that false patriotism, it's terrible. And it says in one of the articles, and this is from CTV News, and I'm just so proud of you. It says the 33-year-old remains unapologetic, insisting he's a history buff, not a neo-Nazi. I'm proud of you that you're unapologetic. I admire you.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. I just don't, I mean, I feel pretty strongly that, you know, I should be able to have my own voice, you know, like, you know, what they've tried to do is basically take my voice away. And, you know, if you do that to a person, you know, you're basically saying that you're not accepted. You know what I mean? So
right.
They're trying to make me feel like I'm not accepted by, you know, this earth. So that's why I'm not apologetic, because I'm just stating what I, you know, think.
And have found.
Exactly.
It's not your opinion. It's what you have found to be true. And there's a big difference between opinion. See, they're stating opinion. You're stating facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's exactly. Because I feel that it's really important that, you know, this kind of information does get out. Because especially you know, this stuff with World War One and Two, because they glorify that to the extreme. You know, like they make people go like, wow, you know, like these guys were heroes, you know, and
true.
And it gives this false picture or whatever to all the youth coming up, and then the youth coming up thinks, oh, you know, like this must be the noble thing to do, like let's join the military and become cannon fodder, you know. So
yeah.
That's why, like, I kind of really decided to start posting stuff on the World War One, Two stuff, because of the fact that, I mean, you just look at all the publicity on Remembrance Day when it comes to, you know, war. It blindsides the youth into thinking, oh, that's the way to go.
Sure. Indeed.
Yeah.
Now, there are 65 comments on the Huffington Post article. And there's some that
they're very friendly.
They're very friendly. And I'm glad that they are posting in your behalf. So that's
I meant that sarcastically, but
no. But there are a few that do say that you have a right to say what you to give. Well, but of course, people aren't going to read all of those. They're going to go with the crowd. But I think it would be nice if we posted. What can the listeners do to help you out here?
Maybe they can go on to, or maybe read some of these articles themselves and maybe post something positive, or, you know, they can tweet at me and that kind of stuff. And, they can also put out the same information I'm putting out, you know.
Sure. Now, how do people tweet you? Do you have a tweet?
Yeah, it's Chris Max Sandow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
And, you know, if people want to, yeah, yeah. And, you know, if people want to, you know, hit me up on Facebook as well. They're more than welcome to now that my my page is back up. Hopefully, if I don't get crazy attention, they won't start reporting the photos I was posting and that kind of stuff. Because for a while, I couldn't log into my page.
Wow. Well, Chris, I'm sorry we've run out of time. Thank you so very, very much for being on the program. And take care. And I hope that we can talk again. And I hope that you get some more opportunities to do radio. So thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Deanna.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Cheers.
Start with you and me.